2. Micheline Mason and the Struggle for Inclusive Education and Disability Rights. By Richard Reiser, friend, collaborator, and comrade. Micheline Mason died of a stroke on Saturday, the 7th of September 2024. Micheline, 73, was a major leader in the disability movement and a brilliant thinker, taking our movement forward, especially the struggle for inclusive education, in a series of quantum moves. This will leave a great hole in the lives of those who loved and worked with her, and a strong feeling of loss across the thousands of people whose life Micheline changed directly, and a diminishment of possibility in the lives of millions. Micheline had been developing her thinking since being born with osteogenesis imperfecta, brittle bones. Although she felt like everyone else coming from a loving and supportive home, firstly medical and then educational and social authority required her to be hospitalised, isolated and educated at home, and later sent to a segregated boarding school. In An Ordinary Baby, Tales of Childhood Resistance, Micheline has powerfully written about her childhood. She excelled academically and went to art college, where she began to liberate herself. She rejected having a commercial art career in favour of activism. Micheline's thinking developed further through the re-evaluation counselling, the women's movement and the burgeoning disability movement. The Liberation Network of Disabled People, LNDP, following their initial meeting at Lower Shore Farm, Swindon, 1980, focused on breaking down isolation by finding ways to communicate with each other, whether deaf, blind, or physically impaired. Many of the ideas were developed by Micheline Mason and others. Quote, "We challenged internalized oppression, the conditioned hatred of ourselves and each other as disabled people, the desire to assimilate. We challenged the denial of hidden disabilities, the fierce competition between us, the inability to champion, appreciate and support each other's achievements or thinking, the lack of information and understanding about the issues of other oppressed people." The LNDP were at the founding meeting of BCODP, leaving, not happy with the male dominance and rigid approach. Many of these activists formed organisations that joined BCODP as it grew. Different in approach to the Union of Physically Impaired Against Segregation, UPIAS, who became the majority of the leadership. The thinking of LNDP helped form the Alliance for Inclusive Education. The work on self-representation, social model and disability as an oppression was brought together to transform education. To earn a living, Micheline had become a disability equality trainer, working with the London Borough's DET team. For Micheline, quote, "Friendship is key. I would argue for inclusive education as young people need to be facilitated to make friendships across the barriers that adults have created. That can't happen unless they're all together. All the rest of it is secondary. It was certainly the thing missing from my childhood. You never get over it. Not really." Unquote. I was introduced to Micheline when put together with her by the Inner London Education Authority, ILEA, to write advice on disability equality to the 13 successor boroughs after abolition in March 1990. As a disabled teacher who won my grievance against compulsory redeployment, I had been seconded to work on disability in the curriculum. Margaret Thatcher had abolished ILEA for purely ideological reasons, even though it was highly effective and popular with parents. The parents of disabled children, through an advisory group in 1989, had demanded that such advice be produced. as unlike race, gender, and class, none had come from the ILEA. The Corps became Parents for Inclusion, who worked with Micheline previously when she sought advice on how to ensure her daughter, Lucy, who had the same impairment, could be included in mainstream primary school. They mainly had children with learning difficulty and had been struggling to get their children included, at that time called integration. I had come from a teacher trade union and socialist background and had seen my impairments as a personal issue to be overcome. All this changed on the carpet of Micheline's flat in Tooting as we argued and sought to reconcile our different views. We met in September 1989. An 80-page document grew and grew to be Disability Equality in the Classroom, a Human Rights Issue. Launched by ILEA 3 weeks before its demise, copies of the 280-page handbook were sent to every school in Inner London and every English Education Authority. Largely due to Micheline's thinking, a uniquely radical approach to the education of disabled people, covering impairments, curriculum, disability equality, pedagogy, and self-representation. Micheline became a lifelong friend and collaborator. The Alliance for Integration was formed following an initial conference. The 2,000 remaindered books were delivered to us. Disability Equality in Education was formed to deal with distribution and training over the next 17 years. Founding the Alliance, Micheline worked with me to develop a constitution that will represent all our allies, but have a majority of the council as disabled people, so it could be part of the UK disability movement. It sounds cumbersome, but as the first elected chair for 12 years, it was very effective following Micheline's leadership. We decided the Alliance would be for campaigning and DEE would be for training and distribution of resources as a charity. In the first 12 years, ALFIE supported many parent-led local campaigns for inclusion, drafted an integrated education bill for Parliament, adopted inclusion rather than integration, changed its name, worked closely with Parents for Inclusion, education psychologists for inclusion, spoke at education and training conferences, and set up Young and Powerful, funded by Platinum Trust and Barrow Cadbury. In 1995, Save the Children approached the Alliance concerned at the lack of portrayal of images of disabled children to organise a conference of children's image makers, authors and programme makers. This was the highly successful Invisible Children Conference. Out of this came the 1 in 8 group, which led to real changes both in books, children and adult programming. Comic Relief were keen to work with us. Micheline became a member of their board. The change in their images, patronising approach and their grant giving to DPOs is largely due to Micheline's tenacity. They could not fund children, but were able to commission a pack for training the adult workforce for inclusive education. Altogether Better, From Special Needs to Equality in Education, was another collaboration between Micheline and me. We produced a more practical case for inclusive education, with a film from Anthony Magella, Break Down the Wall, and Griff Rhys-Jones in a head-to-head with a disabled student from Tottenham, linking film extracts. This was a powerful salvo for inclusive education, selling 10,000 copies and used throughout the country for training education professionals. Comic Relief funded the first national disability equality trainers training for education at the Leicester Holiday Inn in 1992. They gave an interest-free loan for a second edition of a further 5,000 disability equality in the classroom. In 1998, Comic Relief was able to fund children's activities, and they funded Young and Powerful, the Alliance, and Disability Equality in Education, DEE, a small charity based on our work. DEE trained a national network of 100 disabled disability equality trainers. Its training was received by over 100,000 educationalists in the UK. This developed a more positive view of inclusive education in the disability movement. It ended in 2008. Labour had changed their mind and would no longer fund this important work. Other major achievements: a meeting with David Blunkett, MP, before the 1997 general election as future Secretary of State for Education. He committed to developing inclusive education, amending the Disability Discrimination Act to bring all education establishments under it, removing two caveats preventing parents' wish for mainstream compulsory segregation. Publication of the Inclusion Assistant, later taken up by the government, 2007, for learning support assistant training. However, as David Blunkett said to Lucy at a Young and Powerful meeting, "Send Micheline and Richard a message. I could not do what I promised. The forces arrayed against us are too powerful." This was an unholy alliance of, quote, SEN experts, unquote. Politicians led by David Cameron, special school head teachers, some teachers, ill-informed parents, local authority bureaucracy. Baroness Warnock, author of the report that led to the 1981 Act changing her mind about inclusion and a government laissez-faire approach, not requiring schools to admit disabled students. By 2007, Andrew Adonis, schools minister, told the Education Select Committee that Labour did not have a policy of inclusive education. This led Micheline to speak in public debates on TV. In 2010, the Conservative Liberal government had a policy of countering the bias to inclusion, which was nonsense. Together with austerity, it led to an onslaught on the rights disabled people had gained. Rosa Branson launched her Portrait of the Inclusion Movement, which puts Micheline at the centre of multiple avenues of change. At UK Disability History Month, UKDHM 2016, Micheline read two of her poems. Micheline's poems are powerful. "Not Dead Yet" is as relevant now as then, with threats to introduce assisted dying. "I have lived to see another spring, to breathe in the blossom's perfumed air, to feel again the sun warming my skin, to wonder at the life we share. I have another chance to notice shining eyes meeting my own, some with love, some with questions, the hope, fear, pain we have all shown. Physical pain I have known plenty. Impairments hold little fear for me. But to feel unwanted, a burden, a weight, is the intolerable pain I fear. The answer cannot lie in murder made easy, in fueling guilt, complicity and dread. It lies in the courage to create a kinder world, in which no one would choose to be dead. Happily, I am not dead yet. I've lived to see another spring. I will use every precious moment I have left, this welcome change to bring." Micheline's illustrations have often convinced people more than screeds of words. In 2019, for UKDHM, Micheline and myself did an interview on the history of the Alliance for Inclusive Education. In retirement, Micheline was free to write and began to drill down into some of the thought barriers we've come up against, reversing the moves to inclusion. Micheline, always an optimist, strongly believed that we'd challenge the status quo of segregation, which could not be reversed. Incurably Human and Dear Parents, published by Inclusive Solutions, bear witness to this deeper thinking. Both stand as invaluable templates for rekindling the inclusive education movement. Those of us who work closely with her will venerate and be thankful for her insights and the challenge she provided, moulding the journey forwards. In her memory, we must continue. I will never forget her joy and laughter. As Joe Hill said on his Death by Firing Squad, don't mourn, organise. Richard Reiser, friend, collaborator and comrade.